today, every guest's name became Jimmy. We'll not be heard at this time, so that we can hear from Chico, Gordon, Jason, and more.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we've had all sorts of madness in March. I'm not going to say it the other way since it's copyrighted and I don't feel like getting sued. But we've had plenty of game show madness in March, and it's not even a sweeps month.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
You know, I mean, put it to you this way. We've had drag queen bathroom hunting, bathroom repair. We've had a new tribe in tribal, so to speak, with a major miscue. The Jeopardy Invitational Tournament is, well, excellent, and people are talking, maybe. And we've got some cooking to deal with. But the most important thing is that we don't have the madness of March. We have the badness of March.
That's right. We'll explain more as we go along, but right now we've got to get to all of the good that has happened over the last week. Because, my friends, from somewhere in America, WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, it's on! Let's go!
Whee!
Welcome to the Badness of March episode. It is number 438 here at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all around good guy, and waiting for the weather to be warm and opening day tomorrow, baseball tomorrow. Yes, woo! Yes, yes. Roar baseball.
Let's go, Yankees.
Well, wait. The Yankees, yes, it's opening day, but the Yankees don't play until next week at home. They're currently in Houston, so you can say that they're on their own little deserted island, and that's where we need to go first.
Yes, we do. Well, I thought we were going to do a little business, but okay, let's go there. So after Banu's tragic fall from grace in his own
can
mind.
Can we say self-immolation?
Yes. Yeah, they were all like Mercedes in a way, right?
Moment of silence. Moment gone. Next.
Yes, exactly. So what happened is that they were all lamenting, we can't lose, we can't lose, and Q was saying, I want to quit too. But he was like, nah, I'm just telling her that, you know, so she wouldn't play her shot in the dark. So Hunter was looking for an advantage at NAMI, and Sega, Tim said, you know what, Jim moved the beware advantage, and she's like, nah, don't worry about it, it's all good. I didn't do nothing. So
this is fine. Everything's fine. It's all fine. Everything's fine.
Meanwhile, Jem thinks that she's a good liar, and everybody knows she's lying, which means everybody knows she's got an idol. More on that later.
Yes, but right now, let's go to the reward/immunity challenge, which features our tribes going up a 3-tier obstacle course, collecting keys.
We've seen this one before.
You go up and down obstacle course. Unlock a thing, yeah.
You okay. Then they have to find the right key to unlock the hook, to get the rope, to pull down the sandbags, and to use the sandbags. Now, the immunity challenge, again, is two tribes. The reward challenge is sugar. Lots and lots of sugar. Good sugar in fructose, and bad sugar in, well, pastries, etc. So, NAMI being NAMI, they crush, they destroy. But, however, Yanu comes back and they finish second. Fanfare, please. fanfare.
That one fanfare coming up.
Right. So, so we had a bro journey with Hunter, Tim, and Q, and they discussed they wanted to get like a final six, like the cookout in a way. Pick your plus one.
Everybody brings a plus one. Q's gonna bring Tiffany. Tim's gonna bring Maria, and Hunter's gonna bring Tevin.
Okay. So what happens is that they agreed that Hunter should compete the challenge. So Hunter says, all right, I'll do it. You need to be a super fan. So what he had to do, which was, I don't know if, Gordon, would you have been able to do this?
Of course.
Okay. To arrange 20 of the 46 logos in chronological order from farthest to most recent. If you do it, you get an advantage. If not, you lose your vote. And, well, Hunter lost his vote.
Yeah, he got 8 out of 20, which is not a passing grade, according to Hunter.
Mm-hmm. So Jem, since Siegel lost, got the clue, and she had to do a math puzzle to find the idol, which she did. It was basically, they had to do, what was it, PEMDAS puzzle,
yes,
right?
Yes, basically. You have to find, the perimeter of the tree mail thing, and then you have other things as well. Then it all leads up to 29 machete lengths from the tree where she found the beware advantage. And right there, buried underneath, is an immunity item.
The problem with that, moving on to Tribal Council, is that she will never get to use it because she gets blindsided.
Right, and because she felt safe. She felt very, very, very safe.
Yeah, she felt safe, but she was voted out by a tally of 4-2. Which means that the girls' alliance that Sega has, yeah, that's no longer a thing. And Jem is basically going home with a useless idol in her pocket.
Jem is now a hologram.
Oh, very good.
And her survivors. No, I got one even better. And her survivor strategy was truly outrageous. Anyway,
truly outrageous. Yes. Show's over, but, Synergy.
Yes,
exactly. There we go.
And of course, next week we get the three greatest words in Survivor: drop your buffs. I was about to say pants, but no.
No, that's when you're recording the show. Anyway, from one island, we go to another island, and that is Deal or No Deal Island. And if you remember last week, Aaron was told to stay behind because he was seen as the most trustworthy of all of the players. That's going to come into play here because Aaron is still at the temple. But all of the tribesmen are going to see Joe, where they have 16 locked cases in the jungle. You have to go grab one, bring it back to the banker's ledger, where Aaron is going to have to convince you to keep both keys, because there are 16 cases, 14 of them have money, the other two have keys.
Right.
If he can convince the players to keep the two keys, he will be immune from the night's game of Deal or No Deal. However, if he doesn't, then he's going to have to play. Now, if he is unlocked, because he is chained to the Baker's throne, which is kind of odd if you ask me, but if he is unchained, the two players with the keys will be up for nomination. And it will be Aaron's choice. In any event, the cases that are picked will go on the board that night. Alyssa
and
Miranda.
Yeah, this challenge made no sense whatsoever. No, this is one of the dumbest sort of deal or no deal persuasion sort of things, huh? What? So basically, what will happen, or what has happened, and what's going to happen, what happened is, they find the two keys. Aaron gets out. Now he chooses Melissa to be
Miranda.
I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, Miranda, to play Deal or No Deal with the Banker. And again, going back to the madness part of March Madness, you want to talk about truly outrageous. Let's talk about her game playing or lack of at this point.
Okay, so after the first round where she knocks out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cases, she's left with 100, 300, 750, 1.5 million, 1.75 million, and 3 million. And her first offer is $208,000. She says, no deal. Now she has to knock out two more. She knocks out the 300 and the 750, and the banker comes up with a very interesting offer. $937,000 toward the final tally.
Which she should have taken.
And $4,000 for her winner loser.
Oh, 40. What is it, 40?
No, 40,000. So basically, it's a bailout saying, if you want out of the game, here's 40 grand with a small shot that you're still in the game, but you're probably out because there's only one case that can bail you out and save you. And if you have any of the big money cases, you are Dunsky. So she takes the bailout. And because she had the 1.5 million, which is well over the 200,000, she's Dunsky.
Yeah.
Again, I think she sort of knew the writing's on the wall in terms of her and her gameplay. So it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it was still something that made you go, huh?
Indeed.
You're going to give up all that money for $40,000? Really?
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's that. But let's go from Panama to Mexico, shall we?
Yes.
As we are continuing the mega leg in Mexico, okay? So our racers are still racing, and they need to find their next clue at La Iguana Bridge. And it's a detour, balloon collection or color correction. Balloon collection, they had to take 6 balloon bunches and exchange them for in a fiesta for their next clue. In color correction, teams had to search among numerous strings of cut paper or papel picado, for an incorrect color pattern in order to receive their next clue. And I watched this, and I'm just like, man, the balloon collection was so much easier, really. Then they had to go to Las Lázaro Cárdenas Park. Now, before this happened in the roadblock, which was one team member had to paint a Day of the Dead Calavera design onto their partner's face. Now, a couple of teams late in the leg actually skipped the detour.
Whoops.
And had to go back to do that. Okay. Then they had to, once they got their Day of the Dead makeup
Calavera.
The Calavera. They had to go to Monarch. They had to wear their wings and travel on foot to the bridge that connects Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton's houses in order to find the pit stop, the Casa Kimberly, which, by the way, is now a luxury hotel. Did you actually Google this? Because I did.
I did. It's a luxury hotel. It used to be the residence of Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. It is in Puerto Vallarta and...
It's a lot. Put it to you this way. It's probably for the person who hit $1.1 billion in the Mega Millions on Tuesday. Just saying.
Which anyway. I believe is from Jersey, but it's not Gordon.
No, it's not. So Ricky and Cesar...
Sorry.
Okay. Ricky and Cesar win and get cashback rewards for a trip for two to Lisbon, Portugal.
That's from Rod and Leticia.
Who finished first. I'm sorry, my mistake. Correct. Ricky and Cesar finished second, barely. And unfortunately, Chris and Mary, Chris had an electrolytes issue that kept, and you know, I'm just saying, it just kept them it took them long enough to recover, and just they never really got going.
He was dehydrated, and he never got his liquids that he needed. He pulled a Jason Block in Atlantic City moment.
Oh, yeah. Shush.
The guy from the cast show kept saying, are you getting your electrolytes in? Are you hydrating?
Yes, exactly. So moving on, next week we go to Colombia. I believe, and I don't know if that's a first time place, but they're going to Colombia for the first time. So we'll see what happens there. Do you want to go to the workroom, or do we want to actually talk business?
You know what?
Let's talk business.
Let's talk business
because now Chico, you have this, it's actually more worthy than the Concords, because we got a couple of deals going, and a contract that is near and dear to our hearts is being negotiated. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, after a couple of deals being struck, now the big one for game show fans. This is the network code between SAG-AFTRA and IATSE. And here's what it covers: reality shows, variety shows, game shows, and other shows like those. The current contract expires June 30th, 2024. And IATSE and SAG-AFTRA are going to be talking about it, are actually preparing to talk about it as we speak. SAG-AFTRA is encouraging singers, dancers, stunt folk, voiceover, and background actors to attend a series of meetings later this month and next month before developing proposals for talks. The network television code covers all non-dramatic programs, including daytime serials, variety, quiz, game, reality, talk news, sports programs, and promotional announcements. For instance, last year, this allowed series including The Voice, Dancing with the Stars, Masked Singer, and Jeopardy to continue filming despite the strikes.
And the reason why they could film, it was because, again, it didn't cover the primetime stuff. However, this does cover Dancing with the Stars and other shows of those ilk. Hence, this is the one, if you're a game show fan, this is the one you need to be filmed. That being said, we were talking about this earlier, and you guys said, oh my God, the sky's going to be falling on this. And I said, no, this one is a lot easier to do. There's much less moving parts. This one will be okay.
So you're saying you think they're going to get it done?
Yeah, I do. I think it may get dicey either near the end where people start panicking, but no, it will be okay.
So you're saying it will be done by June 30th?
I think so.
All right.
Okay.
So I
hope so. And honestly, Gordon, I agree with you, because again, I think because we had a couple of mini IATSE deals going on.
Exactly. There's already IATSE that's already been agreeing with this and going with it. Now, keep in mind, IATSE has got much less skin in the game than the other ones, but again, and keep this in mind, there's already a blueprint from the primetime version of this that they can go back and look at.
Yep. They have the game plan.
So, it should be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I don't, again, I agree with you, like, for example, the ones that settled, which was the IATSE Local 695. That's the technicians union.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. And the IATSE are also negotiating on the basic agreement general negotiations. So that's the bigger one. Okay. And I think that one is going to get done too, as well. Okay, because again, no one wants a shutdown. Nobody wants
a reprise of last summer, basically.
No, they don't. Hence why we have what we have later on in the show. But Johnny Gilbert, can you announce us, please?
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Okay, so we need to go back to... we need to go back to last Thursday on Jeopardy. As the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament continues, we start with Larissa Kelly, Jason Geoffrinari, and Leonard Cooper. Larissa dominated the entire show for the most part. And at the end of Double Jeopardy, Larissa had 25-2, Jason came back to 9-6, 96, and Leonard had 9-6. The category
is to play for.
Right. 20th Century Novels is the final Jeopardy. The Clue. Virginia Woolf disliked this book that was cutting out the explanations and putting in the thoughts between dashes.
I know this one.
Yeah, what is it?
What is Ulysses?
And Kent said yes. He started to write one of Woolf's own books to the Lighthouse and changed it to Ulysses. She wasn't a fan of James Joyce, and her press actually turned that book down. He doubles up. Jason, unfortunately, says Sound and the Fury, but it didn't matter because Larissa got it right. She moves on to the semifinals. What happened Friday, Chico?
On Friday, we have Alan Lynn, Matt Jackson, and Terry O'Shea, all three familiar faces in the quizzing circuit. And
oh, by the way, this was a very special episode. It was episode 9,000, including the lyrical stylings of Johnny Gilbert, which was awesome.
This is Ken talking. We didn't want to observe our 9,000th episode without celebrating the only person who's been part of all 9,000 of them. So we have the lyrical stylings of Johnny Gilbert. So that's a thing that happened.
Yes.
After Matt doubles up in the first round, second round, Matt goes all in again, and then Alan tries to make it competitive, but it's really Matt's game to lose with 41,200. Alan has 14,000. Terry has 5,800. Final Jeopardy category from the ancient world. Oh, geez, not the classics again.
Yeah, let's do it.
Captured in Egypt by the British Army 1801 is painted on the side of this artifact named for the city where it was found.
Oh,
easy.
Go ahead.
Go.
Well, what is the Lost Ark of the Covenant?
No.
Correct response. Please.
What is the Rosetta Stone? I've actually seen it live in the British Museum. I have.
Nice. Is the Rosetta Stone. Matt didn't have to do much of anything. He didn't, and he moves on.
Going to Monday's game, it was Amy Schneider, Austin Rogers. Now owns the bar, the Gaffey's, and Celeste DiNucci. And Amy locks the game with 28-6. She went all in on both the daily doubles in the second round, and she locks the game with the final Jeopardy of Notorious Figures. The Clue. Never even a soldier, this man lied that his nickname came from a shrapnel wound while fighting in the Argonne. Now, this one, I didn't know this, but that's kind of cool, if it's true. Okay.
Amazing if true.
Yes.
Yeah, nobody has the right response. Gordon, do you have the right response?
Who is Pericule Barreau's older brother, Clint?
No.
Jason?
It's Al Capone because, according to Ken, it's actually Al Capone. The nickname of Scarface, he claimed, was a war wound that never happened. And no one got it, actually. But Amy didn't need to do anything, so she moves on to the semifinals. What happened Tuesday?
Tuesday, we have David Madden, Arthur Chu.
Oh, wow. Old school. Jones. Friend of mine, actually. I've worked for him.
Oh, yeah. Everybody has to work here. Nothing really amazing happened in the first round. Second round, David gets a daily double. Arthur misses a daily double, and it's David's game to lose with 18,400. Arthur has 5,600. Mackenzie has 600. Final Jeopardy category is elements. I better get this right. In his natural history, Pliny described it as argentum vivum.
I knew this from the get-go. I know my, thank God I knew my Latin a little bit, okay? Vivum means live. Argentum means silver. Live silver or quicksilver or mercury. Da, 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 da. There you go.
Yep, Arthur is right. David's right. Mackenzie only bet $10, but David moves on.
And
tonight's show.
Right. And that was.
You have a poker, player, a sommelier, and a chaser.
Right. That would be Brandon Brackwell, Jennifer Quayle, and Alex Jacob. Going into the final, which, by the way, I think the best overall game of the tournament so far. Brandon has 23,600, Jennifer has 11,000, and Alex has 14,200. The clue is old words. First appearing in an English dictionary in 1623, mesonoxian means pertaining to this word, and I should have known this. Should have known this one, you know?
Yeah. Gordon, do you have this one?
Yes. Who is Tegan Knox?
Oh, good WrestleMania reference, but no. Meso meaning middle, Knox meaning night or nocturnal. Midnight. And guess what? Alex got it wrong, okay? Brandon got it wrong. Jennifer got it right. She moves on to the semis, a little bit of one. Yes. And we will find out what happens over the next few days, because I think by this time I'm looking at our friends at J Archive.
Next week we will have at least two finalists.
Well, let's see. Two finalists, possibly three.
Yep. Two finalists,
and again, it's first to two moves on to Jeopardy Masters, and then we get into regular play. So it is time to cook, and this is a big one, actually.
We are in Wisconsin for the new season of Top Chef with new host Kristen Kish. First of all, quick buyer wins will not guarantee you immunity. However, you can still win money if you win a quick buyer, which is something to look forward to. But there's no quick buyer to be found in the first episode. First episode features chefs separated into three groups headed by Kristen, Tom, and Gail.
Well, the reason is that they had to create stuff. Gail had to do stuffed pasta dishes. Kristen had to make soup. And Tom's group had to prepare roasted chicken dishes, which had to include both white and dark meat. Okay?
Yeah.
They were served at the Loopy and Iris restaurant. So then you had the best favorite and the least favorite of each group. The overall favorite was declared the winner and received immunity for the next elimination challenge, and that was Manny's green pozole with chicken and charred salsa verde. Then, with the three least favorite dishes, cooked each other against the sudden death cook-off, creating a dish of any choosing using the leftover ingredients from the kitchen. And the guest judges were Paul Bartolotta and Adam Siegel, and the chef that was eliminated was David Murphy out of Houston, Texas, with his mushroom-stuffed gnocchi with speck and chicken liver gravy, mascarpone and Calabrian chili, poached shrimp with some gold tomatoes, coconut cilantro broth, and green curry sauce. What?
That's a little too much.
Yeah. What? Just saying, what?
Yeah. What?
So that's that. But we need to end our news coverage with a couple of bonus items.
Wait. Before you do that, the new season so far has been spectacular. Kristen Chase has absolutely made it her own spin. You're not going to forget. Padma Lakshmi is there, but you're not going to miss her on this. On this episode, it was really good. If you haven't watched it, watch it. It is amazing.
Yeah, it's on Peacock, y'all. It's on Peacock.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, a couple of bonus notes here. First of all, we're going inside the bathroom.
Okay, dude. Yeah, so what happens is on RuPaul's Drag Race.
The mini challenge for this episode of RuPaul's Drag Race is of makeup onto a t-shirt using only your face.
And plain Jane wins. So what happens is that the queens must design a bathroom presented on a spoof design show called Bathroom Hunties. Okay, so you had the final six. It was Morphine, Love, Dion, and Q with the Naughty Potty, which was a hell theme. Dawn and Nymphia Wind, which was the F.Art Museum or the Fart Museum. Okay. And then Plain Jane and Safira, which was the Buddha Liquor's Speakeasy. Okay.
Yes.
The winner of the challenge was Plain Jane and Safira Cristal. Now, there's a big bit of history, Gordon, with this. Okay?
Yes.
Safira Cristal is the first queen, excuse me, to win three challenges in a row, maxi challenges. Okay, not including All Stars, by the way. Okay.
And one of the verified queens to have five challenge wins.
Four. She's got four.
I'm sorry, four.
Yes, she's got four. Q's got two. Plain Jane's got three. Nymphia Wynn has two. Maureen Love Dion has none. In fact, she was in the runway challenge. It was Chain Reaction. And Dawn and Morphine Dion were the bottom two, and they lip sync to Body by Megan Thee Stallion. And I saw this, and while Morphine Love Dion actually lip synced, Dawn just freaking stood there.
Well, Dawn was screwed, and she knew that she was screwed, so yeah, she was done.
Yep, she was done.
Was absolutely done. And if Morphe Love Dion doesn't step her game up,
Morphe Love Dion could step her game up and be the best queen ever. She's not going out past next week. We have our final four. We have our final four, which are Q, Plain Jane, Safira, and Nymphia Wind. That's it. Okay.
We'll see. Yeah, you never know around here. We'll see.
Yep. But we have more. But finally, we have more cash to give away.
More in the cash,
including another bonus round win in National Parks Week. Chico, you have it.
I do have it. It comes to us courtesy of Sony. Emma, that would be, if I got my names corrected, Emma Wan from Minneapolis. An engaged sort has won so far. $19,500. That will be a hell of a wedding. Now let's work on the honeymoon. Sony Pictures with the clip. Here it is.
You can do this. Talk it out. It's a phrase. You have 10 seconds. Good luck.
A laugh. Something a laugh. We had a laugh. We had a laugh.
There you go. Good. About time. I'm sitting here waiting for the answer. Oh my goodness, look what you want.
Oh my gosh.
Emma, with every park comes recreation. $100,000.
$119,500.
You heard the man. $119,500.
Nice.
Yay.
Yay, indeed. Well, how are you going to follow that one up? Well, I know how. a little bit of March badness, and just as a bit of a preview, CBS has 5 shows, ABC has 4, Fox has 3, and then there's everybody else. But that's all I'm going to tell you right now. And you'll find out the rest of it after all the news we didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. 6 Day with 501, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 seconds of Chico singing One Shining Moment. Well, I'll put my fingers in my ears first before.
It's not there yet. Not there yet.
Getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there, you know. My brackets are... I don't need the Hamtaro Shredder yet.
None of us do. Yeah.
Maybe. We'll find out tomorrow. But right now, we're heading to a break. It's 5-1. Come right back, shall you? Shall you?
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Dream Vision has been brought to you by Starship Yamato's March Madness Tournament. It's Star Blazers versus the Enterprise versus the TARDIS. Who's got the better swag? That is Star Blazers March Madness. Because, hey, we all got to work together sometime, right?
It's bigger on the inside. Enough said, okay?
That's what Dawn says.
Good night, everybody.
We got a lot of brackets to go through. Gordon, if you would.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And if you do follow Doug Morris, you'll have more information on the upcoming 28th anniversary of Rock Tracks with Doug Morris that he does every Sunday on WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial all over the Pine Belt, and of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, on the WXRR app, and on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, now I'm looking at the bat, and it looks like an idiot sandwich?
What are you, Jason?
My eyes, it's a little late. I've been bracketologizing. It looks like a beef Wellington.
Oh, that's okay.
The reason why we had the Beef Wellington bat is because Hell's Kitchen has been renewed for not one, but 2 seasons on Fox, and it's filming in our neck of the woods, Gordon. It's filming at Foxwoods, where they have a Hell's Kitchen restaurant there, I believe.
Well, and that's not the only thing that's happening over at Foxwoods. They're also having auditions for Big Brother.
Oh, that's
so
right.
If you're around next week, come on over.
Right, and they actually have a television studio at Foxwoods. They're actually going to do a custom-built set for them.
Okay.
And it's going to be finished at the end of April. And that's cool. And I think that's great. That's awesome.
And the 2 seasons are going to film back-to-back, right?
Yep, which according to Hell's Kitchen aficionado and good friend of ours, Carl Chenier, yes, that is what they're doing.
By the way, both shows run by Fremantle, so not surprised by the synergy.
No, not at all. And the Big Brother at Foxwoods, I just wanted to double check the audition time. That is going to be April 3rd. That's Wednesday from 2 to 6 at Foxwoods. It's sponsored by Channel 3 out of Connecticut. So there's that. Gordon, you'd sent me sort of a date note because there isn't much going on right now. Tomorrow, as we record this, the Traitors Australia, which is the third version on Peacock, I believe. Is that correct? Third one?
Yeah. Actually, it's going to be the fourth one because we also have the season premiere of the Traitors New Zealand.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's cool.
We love murder.
And elimination and, you know, Traitors and Faithful. Friday is the season premiere of Is It Cake? Monday is April Fool's Day, and forewarning, don't do stupid jokes. Don't do stupid jokes at all, really. Just be smart. And we may have some things on Price is Right and or Let's Make a Deal. We don't know anything yet, but we'll find out. And then next Tuesday is the spring premiere of episodes of Weakest Link. But now what is this app we're talking about here? Let's talk about that app though.
The app is Prime Video actually, because we have casting on their new series, The Goat.
Okay.
And of course they have a bunch of reality TV veterans competing for the title of the GOAT and the $200,000 check that goes with it. The herd of competitors. These are the jokes, ladies and gentlemen. Tayshia Adams.
Where are the jokes?
There aren't any because it's produced by a lot of other people. I have them here.
Okay.
Tayshia Adams from the Bachelor, Joe Amabile from The Bachelor and Dancing with the Stars, Kristen Dote, Vanderpump Rules, Reza Farahan of Shaws of Sunset, C.J. Frankel from F-Boy Island, Wendell Holland from Survivor, Tech Holmes from The Real World and The Challenge, Justin Johnson, who is also Alyssa Edwards from RuPaul's Drag Race, Paula Mayfield from 90 Day Fiancé, Devon Rogers from Big Brother and The Challenge, Joey Sasso from The Circle and Perfect Match, Jason Smith from Holiday Baking Championship, Lauren Speed Hamilton from Love is Blind, and Jill Zarin. Good grief! This is D-list! Okay.
Hey, I remember this show back when it was called I Love Money.
Let me get my spatula, because apparently they're using the scraper.
Oh, good grief. Yeah, and by the way, there are people, all the producers from F-Boy Island and The Bachelor are involved with this. Elin Gale, Bill Dixon, Anthony Anderson is involved with this.
Oh,
yuck.
Lord.
Lee Eisenberg, well, who did Jury Duty, so all right. Michael Friedman, Ben Silverman, remember him? Wow, remember when he had credibility? Anyway.
Remember when Howard T. Owens had credibility? He's doing this too.
Yeah, Isabel St. Vargas, Audrey E. Smith, Daniel Tosh, and Matthew Welty from F-Boy Island. Good
By the
grief.
Way, Daniel Tosh, also the host.
Yes, well, I don't know if that's smart or not, but yes, okay.
Bob, talk to him.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
Now, why do you have the Hulu on Disney app as an Are You Smarter Than?
No, that's
why?
Not Are You Smarter Than. That's another app story, because Hulu and Disney Plus, they're out of beta with Hulu on Disney Plus. So now they're one big appy family. I'll see myself out.
Yeah, well, okay, but what do you have for
Where
me?
Are the jokes?
Yes, where are the jokes? Are you smarter than P. Diddy? He was a judge, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Not only did he host I Want to Work for Diddy, back in the day, but he was also one of the judges on The Four.
Right. So his house got raided this week for, you know, his houses in Miami and L.A. got raided this week for some potentially nasty crimes. We're not going to say them, but, you know, there's some really bad shenanigans going on.
Yeah. Allegedly, Rob the Cash Cow's younger cousin, George the Mule, was there.
Very good. Very good. Very good. But
we're just shooting on all four cylinders tonight.
Let's go for eight, because this one is a megavat 100-ounce can of Haterade. This is big. Haterade! So you remember we've been talking about Paramount Studios and its potential sale to every one known to man, including
Byron Allen.
So according to S&P Global, its global debt has been cut to junk status.
Now, and Jay, what does that mean?
Okay, it's been lowered to BB+, which is from BBB negative, or one level below investment grade. This is from the Hollywood Reporter. Okay, they made that move on weak credit metrics with a stable outlook. Okay, and this downgrade came after a month after it was put on a negative watch by the same company for a downgrade over weaker cash flow concerns as the major studio pivots from linear TV to the streaming space. According to the commentary accompanied by that downgrade, Paramount will need to execute its plan to substantially improve streaming losses over the next 2 years to mitigate further downside ratings pressure. Their current metrics are weak for the BB rating, so that's why they did that. Okay? So it was actually lowered last year from BBB to BBB-. So it's been lowered twice already. Okay? And it could lower even further if it was unable to reduce its leverage or increase its free operating cash flow over the next 12 to 18 months. Okay?
So basically,
they're in deep moo-poo. They are in deep moo-poo.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's crappy. It's terrible.
Perfect.
Yes. Yeah, it's terrible. It's horrible. I mean, but Gordon, what does this mean to you? Let's be serious for a minute. What does this mean to you?
What it means for me is that, okay, I'm going to be very, very techie here.
Okay.
So not only would it be an issue in terms of buying or selling, it would also be an issue for anybody trying to pitch any sort of product, because you don't know who's going to be in charge. You don't know if it's even going to be an entity. I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be. But you don't know who the head of the snake is. It's sort of like if you're pitching a show to a vice president of a company, and that person's a person that decides whether or not the show is there, but you don't know who the vice president's going to be. It's like asking Joe Biden to do you a favor to pardon somebody in December. You don't know if he's going to be there.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. You're correct. Actually, on January 19th, actually, that's the thing. That's when you're supposed to do it. But yes.
The point is, it's very scary for Paramount right now until they find some solid footing, which right now they don't have.
Agreed.
Uh-huh.
Agreed. So let's send everybody somewhere. Where are we going?
We're going to England, where Bradley Walsh is going to have steady work for a few years, or at least a few months, because Gladiators, one of the biggest reboots of the last year or so on the BBC, has been renewed for a second season, ahead of this week's final. According to the BBC, its first episode is now the biggest entertainment launch for nearly a decade, and has almost reached 10 million viewers after 28 days. So Bradley Walsh and his son Barney are going to return, as are the superhuman gladiators, Saber, Legend, Nitro, Diamond, Phantom, Athena, Bionic, Fire, Giant, Dynamite, Viper, Electro, Apollo, Comet, Steel, and Fury.
So it sounds like Santa's new reindeers.
Yep. Oh, but, and we're probably not going to get much of the way of media pros out of that, are we?
No, but we have a lot of them.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we have the new cast of House of Villains Season 2. Wes Bergman, Teresa Giudice, Jesse Godders, Richard Hatch, Victoria
that
Larson.
That would be Giudice, but that's okay.
Giudice? Yeah, Giudice. Whatever. Larissa Lima, Candy Muse, Camilla Poindexter, Tiffany, New York Pollard, and Safari. Kevin Shinnick has been cast as Dick Clark for the upcoming Michael Jackson biopic. Can't wait for that. Paula Abdul is going to star in a feature-length podcast called Spacemen from Planet Judy. Oh, my God. Tyler Ninja Blevins has been diagnosed with melanoma. Please get well soon. Peter Murgatroyd and Max Murkowski are having another baby, and it's a boy. Congratulations to them. Stephen Colbert, he made a joke that did not age well, and he stopped short of apologizing for it. Bob Barker's house is on the market for $3 million.
Yeah, $3 million. Yes,
as a fixer upper,
and because it's a landmark, you can't tear it down.
I know. That's right. Trinity the Tuck calls Caitlyn Jenner an oxymoron for her views on trans women in sports. Elizabeth Banks gets miniature for Peacock because she's got a direct to series order. Saphira Kristal made her surreal drag race. We talked about that. Rebel Wilson claims Sasha Baron Cohen was an a-hole in showbiz. And we actually have a tie for Hoe of the Week.
Who's number one?
Number one is Keith Urban, former American Idol judge and mega mentor, or Blake Shelton's mentor.
Actually, you know what? If you're going with this, I don't think it's a tie.
You don't think it's a tie?
No, I think the if you're going where I think you're going, are you going for the new Bachelorette?
I am going for the new Bachelorette.
Yeah, it is the first Asian-American Bachelorette in Jen Tran, right? I believe her name is.
That is correct. And you know what? I agree with you. So congratulations, Jen Tran. You win the Pro of the Week prize.
Yes.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brave Vision. Chase, if you would, please.
I'm shutting it down and bringing out our brackets. It's time for March Madness right after this at 5-1. Let's go. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by Canadian Gladiators. We have log rolling, cow jumping, swimming in maple syrup, more log rolling, more chorin, and whatever it is that aerial lacrosse. That's what it is. I do.
Canadians offended by this last ad, the email address is chico at gameshownewsnet.com.
I love Canada.
We love Canada too, but we also love bad television. Well, we don't love it, but in this particular week,
It's like bad television makes good entertainment in this particular case.
So this is one of our favorite segments of the year. It's called March Badness. We have put together a list of what we believe is the 32 worst shows of 2023. That means that they have broadcast at least one new episode, from January 1st, 2023 to December 31st, 2023. Chico, yes. Continue.
Yes, and what we've done is compared lists, and of those 32 that Jason, I, and Gordon have individually come up with, we have bracketized them into the 32 absolute worst list. And just as an aside of how bad this thing got, your last four in are The Challenge USA, Love Always, Battle on the Beach, and Hot Wheels Ultimate Challenge. And your first four out are Is She the Wolf, Worst Cooks in America, Battle of the Decades, and Recipe for Disaster.
Ew, my God, I need the Tums already. So,
okay.
At the beginning when I was looking at this, I was like, how do I find 32? And then I go through my memory banks and I went, oh, yeah, that's how I find the 32.
Right, and a lot of these shows, were strike programming.
And you can tell they were strike programming. So, we're going to start off with 5-1 in our corporate champion Grizzlebees with the whammy bracket and the number one overall pick, Squid Game the Challenge.
Okay, versus
up against number 32, Hot Wheels Ultimate Challenge.
Oh, this is easy. Squid Game the Challenge had so much wrong with it. Hot Wheels was just there. Squid moves on.
Squid moves on, indeed. Gordon?
Yeah, well, Squid Games, again, was a failed version of the TV show where you've had lawsuits over lawsuits over lawsuits against the show, and yet it's being renewed for season two, so expect it to come back here next year as a high seed, kids. Squid Games moves on.
Yes, it does. And it will face the number 16, Generation Gap, or the number 17, The Bachelor.
Ooh,
I want to say Generation Gap because, holy cow, you have a prize decided by an infant.
Well, but that's exactly why I like the show, because it's sadistic in that sort of way. Everything else is bland and generic, but that in itself, that makes it cringy, is why it's a guilty pleasure for me, so Bachelor.
Wow. Because I understand where Gordon's coming from, but to me, cringe does not work. I think the bonus game is the worst bonus game on TV right now. Generation Gap moves on.
Sorry, oh, no, Gordon. I can think of worse bonus games that are on this list right now.
Okay, we can do that too. What's next?
Next up is the number 8 seed, Buddy Games, versus number 25, Loteria Loca.
Ooh,
there's the worst bonus game for you.
Yes, yeah. Okay. Here's the problem. I'm moving Loteria Loca on, sorry, Aaron, for this reason only. It didn't go far enough. There's a couple of shows on here that didn't go far enough. Buddy Games was bland and inoffensive. Loteria Loca was an incredible disappointment. Loca moves on.
Yeah, Loteria Loca is a show that could have done so much more and didn't. Buddy Games, you kind of knew what you were getting into when you watched it. So, Loteria Loca.
I actually would have gone with Buddy Games in the worst, because at least Loteria Loca did not try to insult your intelligence. And Buddy Games is just like, sitting there going, really? We're doing this. So I would have gone with Buddy Games. But I can understand why Loteria Loca moves on. I just would not have moved them on.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, see, the thing is that in this particular case, we're not saying that it was bad per se. It was not good enough, if you can understand where I'm going with this.
Yes.
It did. Okay, next one.
Next
we
one.
Here's my disclaimer. We love all shows, and this is our way of saying for some of the shows, do better.
Right. Yes. Exactly. Yes. Yes.
We don't think you suck. We just think you can do better.
Yeah, agreed. There you go. Okay. And the final matchup in the whammy bracket, number 9, Survive the Raft, versus number 24, Hey Yahoo.
Oh, Hey Yahoo!
Hey Yahoo is okay. Jay, you go first.
No. I was going to say Hey Yahoo. Inoffensive is again inoffensive and bland. Survive the Raft. What the hell was that? Raft moves on.
Agreed.
Well, Survivor Raft was an interesting political, social game, but it got real creepy and hinky in terms of them. And I also sort of blame the producers on this for trying to add drama when drama shouldn't have been added, but props to the contestants for not falling into it. So Survivor Raft moves on for me as well. Make a sweep.
Yep.
Okay, all right. Next bracket.
Survive the Raft moves on. Now we go to 5-1 and our corporate partners, Duke Floor Wax, with the Rapping Dragon bracket. And our number 2 overall, Snake Oil. Facing the number 31 overall, Battle on the Beach.
Oh, God, this is easy. Snake Oil was a game show where the host didn't care, the jokes weren't funny, and the gameplay stunk. Battle on the Beach, meh. Snake Oil moves on.
Snake Oil does move on for all the reasons stated.
Yeah, I agreed.
All right.
They took a great concept and absolutely did something that was really impressive, which was torture a great game show concept.
Yeah. And they'll go out to face either number 15, Law of the Jungle, or number 18, Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, good grief. Two romantic shows. I go with the one with the STDs. Bachelor in Paradise moves on.
Law of the Jungle was not exactly a romantic show, sir.
Wasn't exactly a good show either.
I didn't say it was a good show. I just said it wasn't a romantic show. You know what? I'm gonna have to go with Law of the Jungle.
Oh God! So it's up to me, isn't it?
Yes.
Break that, sorry, Chico.
Yeah. Well, Law of the Jungle could have done more. The Bachelor in Paradise, you kind of knew what you were getting into when you turn it on. So for that reason, I have to go with Law of the Jungle.
All right, Law of the Jungle moves on. No problem. You know,
next,
that's cool.
Next up, number 7 seed, Superman, versus number 26, You Bet Your Life with Jay Leno.
You Bet Your Life with Jay Leno was a victim of the strike, really. Because Jay Leno was really, you know, I was looking forward to actually multiple seasons of this of You Bet Your Life. Superfan was a concept that should have never got out of the pitch room. Superfan moves on.
I think Superfan is actually rated way too low in terms of the seating here. I think this could be a dark horse. This show is just absolutely creepy. The casting was wrong. And Jay is right. We should have... Superfan for me moves on easily.
Yeah, make it a sweep. I mean, for a show that has been in development for so long and then delayed for even longer, why?
Exactly.
Just why? And speaking of disappointments, the number 10 seed, America's Got Talent All-Stars, and 007 Road to a Million in the 23 spot.
Oh, AGT is also a sleeper pick here. Because, again, you have all sorts of shenanigans with this. It doesn't feel like a real show. I mean, 007 was really good until the last episode, where it was really disappointing. But AGT, you knew it's going to be problematic all the way across. I'm going to go with AGT.
I agree with you for what you said. I would say 007 Road to a Million was the biggest disappointment for me of 2023, excuse me, because the production values are spectacular, but there were just things that the execution was just not there. Anything non-AGT, classic AGT flavor is pretty bad. So, yeah, AGT moves on.
Yep, I'm going to make it a sweep because Road to a Million, I get it. I get what happened. I get why it happened. But at the same time, it's like AGT All-Stars. Couldn't leave well enough alone. It's like, hey, we need a whole build. Here's America's Got Talent. So, yeah, there you go. America's Got Talent moves on. And now we go to 5-1 and our corporate champions, the Zonky Bobbleheads with the Zonk Bracket. And that would be, and we go to the number 3 overall pick, and that is Stars on Mars and it goes up against a Love Always, which is a good idea done totally, totally bad.
Well, here's the thing. Stars on Mars was the worst, well, one of the worst strike programs ever. It moves on easily over Love Always.
I have to agree with you on that. I mean,
yeah, Stars on Mars had people that were there for paycheck, people that didn't want to be there, and people that did want to be there that got eliminated early. What? Stars on Mars, please.
Yes, make it a sweep, and it will face off against either the number 14 seed, Twin Love, or the number 19 seed, Love Island Games.
Oh, God! Oh! Oh, who do I vote for in this one? Oh. Can we put them both through?
No, you can't.
Then, you know what? I'll go with the Bella Twins because that was just creepy. Twin Love.
Twin Love, indeed, is the correct pick there.
Yeah, it is. Twin Love is definitely the correct pick there. And that, ugh.
Yeah. Okay. Next one.
Next up is the number 6 seed, Farmer Wants a Wife, versus the number 27, Queen of the Universe.
Farmer Wants a Wife was an inoffensive dating show, and kind of cute in its own way. Queen of the Universe was bad in many ways. Judging stunk, the talent stunk. So there, not good.
What sort of judging? This came of the same ilk as America's Got Talent with the super fans and the super this and the super that. If you're going to advance AGT, and you know I love the RuPaul's Drag Race series, but if you're going to advance AGT, you need to advance Queen of the Universe also.
Yeah, that's what I would
do. I agree. Okay. And finally, the number 11 seed, FY Islands, versus the number 22, Super Chef Grudge Match.
Oh, good grief.
I almost want to advance Super Chef Grudge Match for the obvious reasons.
Yeah, but the thing is that's not related to the show. F-Boy Island did not go far enough. So F-Boy Island moves on.
Gordon?
Yeah, it's a mess. That's the best thing that you can say about it. And you're right. It really, you really needed the F boy part of the F boy island, or even the F girl part. They move on.
Yeah, and by
F boy island moves on.
Yes, and we believe we have a final bracket. Yes.
Yes, we do have, with our corporate champions, all three of them. We have the Clug Bracket.
Okay.
And our first one is the number 4, House of Villains, taking on the number 29, The Challenge USA.
Oh, God, House of Villains, the fact that it's got a season 2 disgusts me. It's terrible.
Yeah,
moving on.
The Challenge USA, you know, it works. House of Villains is
how
just
can you say the challenge worked when you have all sorts of complaints on the finale?
That's par for the course with the challenge, though.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it a good show if you don't know who the winners are, and if it feels like it's being
massaged.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Massaged. So yeah, no. I'm gonna go Challenge USA.
Okay.
So it is up to me then.
Yes.
Sure.
I can watch House of Villains. I'm sorry, it moves on.
Okay.
Next up is the number 13, X on the Beach, versus the number 20, The Bachelorette.
Okay, I'm just going to go X on the Beach on a coin flip because they both stink.
I like that idea. I'm going to use a coin here. Siri, flip a coin, please. Yeah, it's heads. It's on the beach.
Yeah, it's on the beach. Sounds good.
All right, next one.
I am surprised that the Bachelor, that Bachelor Nation, is not as bad as everyone thinks it is this year.
Well, no, because there's a lot of stuff that's worse. Moving on.
Moving on is number 5, Cheat, and number 28, Big Brother Reindeer Games.
Oh God!
Big Brother Reindeer Games was not a bad show. Cheat is Cheat.
Yeah, exactly. Big Brother Reindeer Games was strike programming that was totally cheese-tastic. Cheat was a piece of moo-poo. Cheat moves on.
Yeah. And the thing of it is, I like Ellie Taylor. So, yeah, Cheat goes on, and it'll face either the Big D, oh, Jesus, or All-Star Shore.
Sorry, say it again.
All-Star Shore.
Yes.
I know, but we got to move on. You know what? I'm going to go with All-Star Shore because it's just that's just more trashy than the Big D. That's about the only way
I'm
going
to
put it.
I'm going to go with the Big D simply because they canceled it once and somebody had to come in and rescue it.
Big D. I mean, just on the name, it was definitely the Big D.
Yes, it was.
So that moves us on to the Salty 16.
Okay.
All right. Squid Game or Generation Gap?
Oh, Squid Game by a mile. Again, for the reason stated earlier.
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody in my car is playing along, choosing the better game, and we're not choosing the better one. We're choosing the worst one. Generation Gap, I like the bonus round. Squid Games was a terrible takeoff of a show, which, once again, is still getting their asses sued. So, Squid Games.
They should have done this so... They could have done this so much better. Squid Game moves on. Next up, Loteria Loca versus Survive the Raft.
It's the Raft. Loca could have been... was a good show that could have been better. Survive the Raft was just bad. Raft.
Yeah. The raft is the pick. Loteria Loca, you watch that show. There is a good game in there somewhere.
Yeah, Loteria Loca shouldn't have even lost their first game. Survive the Raft was a hideous social experiment gone wrong.
Yes. Okay. Right. Next one.
I understand what they were trying to do. They did it badly.
Snake Oil or Law of the Jungle?
Oh, Snake Oil by a mile. Snake Oil.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of the jungle should have gotten this far, and then they should not be getting any further.
Correct. So, what do you have, Chico?
I have Snake Oil.
Okay, next.
Next up, Superfan versus AGT All-Stars. Again, production versus execution. Oh, God. I'm going to go with Superfan.
How can you make me choose this one? I'm going to go with Superfan. I'm going to go chalk here. It's still, AGT, the champions, was a lot of things. It was not creepy.
Superfan was way creepy. Superfan moves on, yes.
Yep. Next up, we have Stars on Mars versus Queen of the Universe. Sorry, Stars on Mars versus Twin Love.
Stars on Mars by a mile. Twin Love was inoffensive. It was just there.
Yep. And
Stars on Mars was just...
Again, same issue that I had. This is, again, strike programming, but oof. Stars on Mars.
And finally, for this bracket, Queen of the Universe versus F-Boy Island.
You know what? I'm going with Queen of the Universe. It was F-Boy Island just didn't go far enough. Queen of the Universe was bad.
I agree.
Yeah, Queen of the Universe was a wreck among wrecks on that Queen of the Universe. So, which again is a sleeper pick. I think they were put down way too low. So I'll go with Queen of the Universe in the upset.
Yes, now we go to the clutch bracket with House of Villains versus X on the Beach.
Villains by a mile.
Yeah, yeah, this time I do have to go House of Villains. Even though the gameplay was a little bit better, but the casting was just bad.
So. And finally, Cheat versus the Big D.
Cheat by a mile. Cheat by a mile.
Yep, Cheat.
Cheat it is. And now we go to the excruciating eight.
Okay.
For the championship of the whammy bracket, Squid Game the Challenge versus Survive the Raft.
Again, for the reasons said before, Squid.
Somewhere, someone's like, this is a masterclass on how not to produce a show. It's Squid Game.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got two really bad shows. I still got to go with Squid Games. For the very obvious reasons.
All right, so congratulations, Squid Game the Challenge, the champion of the whammy bracket. And we go to the Rapping Dragon bracket with Snake Oil versus Superfan.
Oh, do we go with creepy or apathetic?
I'm going to go with chalk and apathy because nothing in snake oil worked. Snake oil.
All right. It's up to you, Jay.
Why? You're going with Superfan?
I'm going with Superfan.
Why? I'm just curious why.
I'm going Superfan because it took a while to get off the ground. It took even longer for the stupid thing to air. And when it did, it was disappointing. At least snake oil, you know you're getting a piece of crap.
No, you don't. See, no. See, that's the problem. You didn't know you were getting a piece of crap. This was heavily...
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you completely, Chico. Snake Oil is based on a successful board game. So you had the blueprint already for this to be a success. It's one of the reasons why it got on Fox to begin with, was you had a really successful IPO. And if it did anything, I mean anything at all, it expands its audience out there, and this becomes a mega hit. The execution was bad. The host was bad. The comedy was dreck. It was almost sort of like, as Jay said, you had to go get a paycheck. And to make it even worse, the comedy was terrible, and it was predictable. And some things it didn't go for enough. You should have had deals coming on. Where some of these people did have groups. I mean, this could have been their version of Shark Tank. And instead, it was their version of Unicorn Poop.
Yes, and I agree with you. Snake Oil moves on.
Snake Oil it is. Congratulations, I guess. Next up, we have the Zonk Bracket. Stars on Mars or Queen of the Universe?
Oh, this is easy. Stars on Mars... No one gave a crap about this show. At least Queen of the Universe, they tried.
I have to agree.
Make it. I know Chico's going to say he has to agree. Make it a threesome.
So Stars on Mars, the champion of the Zonk bracket, and finally the champion of the Clunk bracket. House of Villains or Cheat?
Cheat.
One has bad casting. The other one is just awful.
And I'm going to go with Cheat because it's
I'm
just
also going to go with Cheat.
Keep in mind, House of Villains just got renewed for a season 2. And I'd also like to say, based on the cast that you announced early on in the show, the cast is a lot better for season 2 than it is on season 1.
Yeah,
season
I agree.
Season 2 actually interests me.
Yep.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Yep. So there the first top seed to fall. And that would be House of Villains falling to Cheat, the champion of the Clunk division. And now we go to the Fatal Four. Our first game, number one, Squid Game versus number five, Cheat.
Okay.
Not much of a contest for me here, Squid Games.
Neither for me. Cheat was just a bad show. Squid Game was just brutal on so many levels. Squid Games.
Squid Game is so brutal on so many levels. I mean, at least Cheat was slickly produced.
Right. Okay.
And now we go to the number two, Snake Oil, versus number three, Stars on Mars.
Oh, God. Wow. This is really the toughest choice for me, because both of them are equally bad. Okay, I'll make it this quick. With Snake Oil, you had bad execution, bad hosts, bad comedy, and not enough integration where you could actually buy the products that were there. Stars on Mars, you had William Shatner plus a bunch of D-list celebrities who didn't give a heck about the game. I'm going to pull the upset. I'm going to say Stars on Mars by a hair for me.
I'm going to go the opposite direction. I'm going to let Chico figure this one out. I'm going to go the opposite direction, because if you had, even with William Shatner in there, if you had a cast that wanted to be there, Stars on Mars could have pulled it off. Snake Oil, you had just too many problems and too much of a disaster. So I'm going to go, and again, you had the blueprint. Stars on Mars, you didn't even have the blueprint. Snake Oil, you had the blueprint on making this a hit, and it was a mess. So hi, yeah. Chico, all yours.
Okay, so Snake Oil, it was there, but they totally botched the execution. Stars on Mars feels like they were making it up as they go. I couldn't take either one seriously. But if you look at Snake Oil, there is a game in there somewhere. So I'm going to go with the upset and advance Stars on Mars.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
So
all
that
right.
That leaves us for the national championship. Squid Game or Stars on Mars?
This is actually the easiest decision we've had in a long time, at least for me. While Stars on Mars was strike programming in the worst way possible, the Netflix production of Squid Game The Challenge, even though it's been renewed, has had multiple problems, from finance to conditions to lawsuits to rigging. My national champion of 2023 is Squid Game The Challenge.
Okay, so, all right, so on one hand, you have two high concept shows. One of them went off without a hitch, even though the contestants involved would rather be doing anything else with their time. On the other hand, you have something that just was not right from the get-go and only got worse as it went on. And the kicker is, it could have been so much better had production only gave a crap. My pick for the national championship is Squid Game The Challenge.
I'll be really blunt and quick about this one. You were talking about blueprints on Snake Oil. This has the biggest blueprint. You have 13 episodes worth of blueprint.
Yes.
That you could have gotten. All you needed to do was recreate it. And by the way, Mr. Beast's version was a lot better.
Right.
And you saved 6 hours in watching it. So, and if Netflix just picked up Mr. Beast to do his own show, maybe you should have him produce Squid Games, because he did an infinitely better version. So, for all the reasons that were stated, and in addition to mine, the worst game show of 2023, but it also could be a repeat in 2024, we'll have to see, but easily Squid Games.
So congratulations to Netflix and Squid Game The Challenge.
By the way, I believe this is our first streamer to win the worst show of 2020, worst show. I believe this is our first streamer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is. Okay.
So one crappy moment, right?
Yep. We'll be back with the big finish in a moment. But first, here's Gordon with one shining moment.
There is a shining moment, and we'll see it next week. And Chico knows why.
Yes,
but that
is
my one shining moment.
Ba, 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 ba.
Yes, I know. So.
Okay, here's here's a break.
WLCI has been brought to you by Squid Oil. It's not just a game. It's not just a bad game. It's Squid Oil. Do we know who's real or not? No, we don't. It's the Squid Oil of love games. The Squid Oil of love. Anybody that wants a paycheck can host, even you, Chico.
I would love a paycheck.
There you go. Anyway, not a lot of time and a lot of stuff to go through as we go through the speed round now. Top Chef, who's next to go?
Oh, boy. It's still way too early going, but I do not like Savannah's chances.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Savannah either. You talk about the Savannah bananas, she's banana.
Yeah, so Savannah, I'll make it So, Survivor, we got, you know, it's drop your buffs time. Is Vanu in trouble in the merge or not necessarily?
I don't think Vanu's in trouble. I think it's going to be a completely new game. I want to say if Q gives off the vibes where he just does not give a crap, they're going to pick up on him and vote him out.
I don't think Q is in trouble. I think Q could be in trouble.
Ah, okay. That could be. Drag Race. Morphine is out next, right?
Yes.
Sure. Bye.
Okay.
Amazing Race. We're off to Colombia next week. Who is going to be left there?
Let's see.
I think it's going to be Michelle and Sean if they don't pick up the pace.
Well, I mean, you look at it this way. Michelle and Sean, they dropped from 5th to 11th. That's not a... And also, Kishori and Charisma are in 10th, too. Don't be surprised if they're out, too.
Yeah, it's sort of a case of RTFC.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. Read the beep clue. Right.
Read the freaking clue.
Deal or No Deal Island, is Aaron still in charge?
Yeah, Boss and Rob has something to say about that. I mean, Boss and Rob and Aaron are going to be buddy-buddy until it's time to not be buddy-buddy, isn't it?
So, yes.
Yeah. That's going to be a problem if your name is not Boston Rob or Aaron, but hey.
Well, it depends on who's going to play the dealer. So, I mean, that's the key.
That is indeed the tea. But, Wheel of Fortune! Is anybody going to win $1 million?
We don't know. But this was our fourth $100,000 winner, by the way.
I know, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty cool. I'll gladly take it, but God, that's crazy.
Yep. Now, what else is crazy is mail. Did we get any?
We got a message from our last episode from Stephen Buis. He writes, I was hoping you would grade Troy's play in the Jeopardy Tournament of Champions. To me, he was the dominant player throughout the final, but fell victim to a couple of unlucky misses. Grade B+. Elsewhere, I can't wait to hear James cut a killer promo on Yogesh in Masters. You and me both, brother.
You and me both. Yes, agreed. But all joking aside, Troy was good. It's just that it wasn't about betting, because his betting was right. He just didn't know the final Jeopardy. I mean, Ben was 6 for 6, and Yogesh bet smart every time. That was the question. That was the thing.
That was, well,
I guess, we know somebody that likes Tactician's Corner, so we're definitely going to bring that back.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I don't agree with A+. B plus is good though.
No, he said B plus.
Yeah, I would agree with B plus.
Okay, we'll agree with B plus. Okay, well, if you want to be like Steven and send us some love, you can do so by following us on all social media at Game Show News Net. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
Oh, I am at Beat the Block number 2.
I'm GSN and Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, where you can find out about everything we are doing network-wide. And speaking of which, I think it's time to sell some soap here. What's going on in the NAWC, Jay?
We are 1 week away from WrestleMania. I will be at the Go Home Show this coming Monday. What else was I going to say? The Rock, the Raw was one of the best episodes overall in a long, long time because it had an Attitude Era feel with the new, but with a new twist. And the Rock and Cody doing a blade job to the Rock was actually made the blood important. Not unfortunately like AEW, where if you sneeze and you bleed, it's a weekly occurrence. It was important. And it made sense, if you understand what I mean. And I believe we're going to do something this week where we go over what happened at WrestleMania 1 year ago and where the people are now, you see. And, have they moved up? Have they moved down? And where are they going from here? And we're gonna preview AEW Dynasty, but yet. Good stuff happening. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA?
We're taking a weekend off. Because Good Easter. Friday and Easter, we've got one tour stop on Saturday. But that is that. Everybody's going to enjoy themselves. And then we go down the stretch. We've got 4 tour stops left. This is going to separate the teams that make the playoffs from the ones that are going to be very, very, very unhappy.
Right, that would be ubatoday.info for all your information needs. The BS, we had a show last week, but right now we're waiting for the draft in about, 3 weeks?
Yep, 3 weeks. We're getting the band back together for the draft. Will Caleb Williams go top level? We shall see. But in the meantime, this weekend is opening weekend for the UFL, the United Football League. So if you want to check that out, you can head up ESPN and Fox for that.
Right. And of course, what's happening on It Was a Thing?
It Was a Thing is after midnight, so the new episode just dropped. We had a best of episode on Monday where we looked back at the Ghostbusters from episode 216. Our new episode is the animated sequel with the two sons of the principals from the Ghostbusters in Filmation's Ghostbusters, which came 5 days before the real Ghostbusters because your feelings, Columbia.
Okay.
So all of that is to celebrate, of course, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which is in theaters now. Watch it. It is awesome.
And we actually can preview a guest for next week, can't we?
Yes. Next week we're doing all of the news of the last week and, of course, all of the game shows of the last week. And also a friend of the show who got a bit of an exposure for the last month or so. And I'll only say he dresses up nice. We'll talk more with him about his experience on the big stage. But for now, for Jason Block, for Gordon Pepper, for everybody at 5and1, my name is Chico Alexander. And before we say goodnight, because I know she is listening, we have to say a very special hello to the newest member of the WLTI family, Blake Grayson Baum Callback.
Yay! Woohoo!
Welcome to the world.
Game over. and spread the love.
Come on.